This is the Rich Eisen Show.
It's bow time.
Bow time.
I like it.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Out of Denver. Bo Nix is the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
How about that?
Today's guests, ESPN senior NFL writer Jeremy Fowler, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer, Jets defensive tackle Quinnen Williams, co-hosts of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast, Jason Moore and Mike Wright. And now,
yes,
it's Rich Eisen.
Can confirm. It is me. It's the Rich Eisen Show. It's a Friday. 2 weeks from this very day, we will already have a result in the National Football League 2024 regular season. It is time. We are on and cracking. It's going to be awesome. 3 hours today. Call us. 844-204-RICH. The number to dial. We say hello to the Roku Sports Channel audience checking us out live every single day on this fabulous platform and portal. We say hello to anybody listening out there on Sirius XM and Odyssey and TuneIn. And, of course, the Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio network patchworked throughout the United States, coast to coast, with love and affection for you. And hearty conversation. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Please call us. We say hello to everybody listening on our podcast because it's your God-given right to listen whenever you're darn well, please. And we say hello to anybody who's out there checking us out every single day through our YouTube channel as well, youtube.com/RichEisenShow. Over this great football weekend of preseason football, and yes, there's a college football game of note to tell you about in Ireland, we should go over 800,000 subscribers to our YouTube channel, and we say thank you to that. So we've got a bunch of guests today. Quinnen Williams on this program from the New York Jets, right after Albert Breer joins us from Sports Illustrated. He spent time with the Jets this week. Jeremy Fowler of ESPN from that football information world will be joining us in 18 minutes time. And then Jason Moore and Mike Wright, the Fantasy Footballers Podcast, one of the most popular podcasts, certainly in that endeavor out there. They're both going to be here together in hour number three to get you set for your fantasy drafts if you already haven't had one. Good to see you over there, TJ Jefferson. How are you, sir? Candles already lit?
Hey, I'm ready to go.
Fantastic. It's great.
It's close. And we can sniff it. We can taste it. Yes. We can feel it.
Fantastic.
I'm ready to go.
Cleveland, I am too.
Cleveland, we're coming for you.
That's
baby.
The Dallas Cowboy Let's fan go. Right there. DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts. Good to see you over there.
Another rare Friday. Very rare Friday. But I am back.
And then last but certainly not least, because Chris Brockman's conducting his stupid 19-hour fantasy draft with his friends, he is out. And in his place is none other than the person I'm her Dougie to her Kamala. Good to see you over there, Susie Schuster. How are you?
Hi, Richie. How are you, Susie?
Susie Schuster is here today.
Hey, I'm here. I'm excited to be here.
Fantastic.
I can tell football season is coming. He's pacing the hallways a lot more. There's a lot more pacing happening in the house.
More pacing.
Can't means wait more to
football.
Talk about it.
More pacing means more football.
Well, it's hard to tell because he paces a lot. So how can you differentiate the football
pacer.
Pacing from the normal
pacer?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Good pacer.
You
know,
very good. Good to see you. Oh, by the way, if you do occasionally hear the beeps in the background, we're not backing up the truck right here. There's some new people moving in the building across the way.
They're loading a lot of stuff.
I thought it was just the pacing of the heavy lifting of the Chris Brockman job.
It is not that. the heavy lifting of the Brockman heavy lifting. That might be one last entry in our fantasy football team name. 844-204-RICH. Say hello to Adam, our call screener. Put him to work. People are already doing that right now. We love that. Put him to work. Absolutely.
Yeah, give him something to do.
It's exactly right. Hey, listen. One of the most, I believe, overlooked stories of this season. I know a lot of people don't nationally talk Indianapolis Colts football, but last year, let's not forget, amongst the rookie quarterback groupings that we would see, with Bryce Young struggling in Carolina and C.J. Stroud unicorning in Houston, there was a guy chosen fourth overall who was showing two-way ability to run and throw for touchdowns before a shoulder injury knocked him out of the season just a quarter of the way into it, and Anthony Richardson, and he's back. And that is definitely one of the most overlooked stories, certainly in the AFC, when you're seeing the two-time defending back-to-back champion Kansas City Chiefs and Jim Harbaugh, new neighbor across the way in the AFC West. And there's a new shiny object in Denver in Bo Nix. And you've got the Raiders going into their first full season with Antonio Pierce. And then you look at the AFC North, and a lot of people are sitting there thinking, can all four teams make it to the playoffs? The answer to that is no. Well, I guess they can all four teams make it if there's no wild cards anywhere else. The AFC East, what's up with the Bills? Can the Dolphins overtake them? The Jets, again, Quinnen Williams on in hour number two. Albert Breer was just there. He texted me this morning. You think the Jets are stacked? He was there on Monday. Chatted with Rodgers. He'll be joining us top of hour number two. In the AFC South, I already mentioned the unicorning C.J. Stroud. Will Levis is going to have his first full season there. Trevor Lawrence, his first full season as a pizzade professional quarterback. Then there's Anthony Richardson. And then last night on Amazon Prime, Albino and Kirk Herbstreit at the microphone. Anthony Richardson in the jungle steps out. First drive, just marches him right down the field. And he looked phenomenal. Six passes in a row, touchdown, threatened passes, throwing it all over the place. RPO and his head off in his 25 plays, just going to be one run pass option after another. Him and Jonathan Taylor on the field at the same time for the first time. That's exactly what was being drawn up in the Colts draft room when they drafted this kid. And then Jonathan Taylor was coming back from an ankle injury and being brought on the owner's bus, talking about life being so small, doesn't matter, football will go on after them. Richardson then gets hurt. Jonathan Taylor comes back. They damn near made the playoffs anyway. And then the second drive, first throw, pick six. Okay.
Well,
and that might be Anthony Richardson's season, where he looks phenomenal 1 second and pretty green the next. Or it's just preseason football. But when it all comes down to it, can't wait to watch this happen. Because he is 100% supremely talented. I think we can at least say that. And then I know he didn't have much of a body of work as a Gator.
But he has a big body.
He does indeed.
Man.
And he's got a good sense of humor. This is what he had to say about leading a touchdown drive for his team to start and then throwing a pick six for the other team right after that.
Decent. I got two touchdowns. No, I'm joking. the interception, man, that was a tough one. You know, communication right there. Granson saw something and I saw something else. You know, we just got to be on the same page right there. The fumble. Man, they preach two hands on the ball in the pocket, you know, almost every day in the QB room. And I know they're going to tell me that, you know, when we get back in the meetings in the next couple of days. But you know, I feel like it was a decent game, just me, you know, being back out there, just filling it out.
Yeah, he is referring to a fumble that he put the ball on the ground in a would-be scramble that the Colts recovered. So that's what you're going to get. Maybe the ball on the ground. Maybe the ball in the air for you, the ball in the air for them. Could that be it? But the bottom line is, it is exciting to watch. It is exciting to watch.
Do you get the feeling, just by the way he kind of laughed that off, that he's not going to have any fear in chucking the ball in? Like, he's going to...
Yeah.
He's going to try it.
Yeah, because it's preseason football too, you know? But he certainly looked terrific in the opening drive. And then, like I said, it's going to be exciting to watch the schedule for the Indianapolis Colts. First up, a rematch of their final game, the would-be playoff game. Winner wins the division, loser goes home. The Colts, for whatever reason, took Jonathan Taylor off the field on fourth down. Gardner Minshew, who's now the quarterback starting in Vegas, couldn't get a first down. Houston moves on, and they will be the ones in Indianapolis again to start the season, where they ended the Colts season. Then at Green Bay, Anthony Richardson versus Jordan Love. How does Anthony Richardson versus Caleb Williams hit you in week three. And then Anthony Richardson at home against Pittsburgh. I will tell you this, folks. That Pittsburgh-Indianapolis game last year, I know it pretty well. I called it on NFL Network. There was some paint swapping going on in that building. Their first division game in Jacksonville, then at Tennessee. Tua comes into their house. They finish up their season series with Houston in week eight. First 2 months of the season filled with, you got to see what's going on with the Indianapolis Colts because of Anthony Richardson. Very excited for Colts fans to see that. And that's, you know, because there really was no starters going on in Kansas City and Chicago last night. That's the one thing that just leaps to mind from last night's preseason action. As for, that was the first game of the final week of preseason. As for the last game of preseason, period. When this game is over, it's going to be all about the regular season. It is the New England Patriots taking on the Washington Commanders. The final, one would think, because I do believe it's Russell Wilson's gig in Pittsburgh, the final quarterback battle of wondering who's going to start in week one for this team. It's New England. Gerard Mayo was asked today about the state of the quarterback race between Jacoby Brissett and Drake May. And then, of course, there's the man who has a statue being built for him already in front of the building in New England based on his outstanding week one preseason performance, Joe Milton. What's the scoop on that, Coach?
Look, Jacoby's going to start the game off. Drake will play as well. Joe will play as well. There's a nugget. Boom. You're welcome. Now you guys can sleep. Zach will play. Zach will play.
There's a nugget. Boom. Those words, Suze, were never said by Bill Belichick in a press conference in his 20-plus years in New England, right?
I was going to say I wasn't looking up, and I thought maybe that was Bill up there again.
No.
Sounded just like a normal Patriots press conference.
No, wouldn't you say? There's a nugget. Boom.
Or not. Not at all.
It's great, isn't it? Just a total change. Total change. Gerard Mayo basically saying, there's your nugget. Boom. I'll say it again. There's no reason to start Drake May in week one. Simply 0.0 reason to start Drake May in week one. You got to let this offensive line gel. And I know I say that even not knowing fully. I'll be straight up with you. I don't know if this offensive line is already gelled. And how many of the guys returned from last year? You got to let the offense get some sort of sea legs under themselves and let Drake May stand on a sideline of a National Football League regular season game in Cincinnati and let him watch. Let him watch and learn. There's no reason to throw him out there, especially if he is going into the regular season on an upswing. In preseason action against twos and threes. Let them build that way. There is no reason. When Mac Jones took over for Tom Brady for a Patriots team that had just made the playoffs, albeit they were one and done by Tennessee, but that was a team that just made the playoffs. And Belichick wasn't going to just, you know, raise it down to the ground and start from scratch and trade away his best defensive player at age 32 just 2 weeks before the season to Atlanta, just like they did with Matthew Judon. Makes no sense for them to start him. Just give him some sea legs. And I know Brockman in the chair that Susie's currently sitting in right now is like, well, when are you going to do it? I don't know. Let them figure that out. It doesn't have to be in Cincinnati.
But there's no rush.
There isn't.
They're not expected to do anything this year.
Correct.
This is the perfect year for them to let them marinate. I mean, of all the years, in a reset year with a new coach and with a young guy where nothing is expected of anything, this is the year to let him sit there and learn. Not everybody's going to be C.J. Stroud.
Well, C.J. Stroud as well, also in that regard, had Nico Collins, although a lot of people didn't think they had a number one receiver in him. You know, obviously I did because I watched what he did in Michigan.
Clearly.
And then, you know.
They had two number ones, apparently.
Tank.
Yeah, tanked out.
Before they decided to use him on the goal line to block.
Inexplicably.
Whatever.
Cost
right?
me my fantasy season.
You and me both,
neither
sir.
Neither here nor there.
You and me both, sir. Although I did go against CeeDee Lamb at his 1,900 yards in the first half against Detroit after David Njoku scored five touchdowns against the Jets to start that preseason. I mean, that fantasy final week. But who's counting?
I mean, that's a shame.
There's no, no, but I'll just say this, though. They should get him in this season.
Get him in is one thing.
Right.
Working him in is one thing.
Right.
But there's no reason to risk hurting him.
I don't think he should. Let him go against the Commanders twos, if not threes. Get a nice little head of steam going. Get, you know, Sully and Fitz calling in, you know, longtime listeners, first time callers, saying maybe it should be Drake May, whatever. But let Jacoby Brissett do it. That's why you got him. You didn't get him to sit there to be a Sherpa and whisper in Drake May's ear as the backup right off the bat. Let him figure out with his neck up ability and his veteran ability to figure out a way to get the ball out quickly and get a running game going potentially through that passing game. Let him extend plays best he can behind an offensive line that might force the quarterback to do that. Rather than have Drake May going to Cincinnati to start. Now watch. He'll start against Cincinnati and light it up. If that's the case, then I will come on this show and offer a mea culpa. But home against Seattle, at the Jets, a quick turnaround on a Thursday night before going to San Francisco. Let him sit all that stuff out.
But Rich, let me ask you this. Like they say experience is the best teacher, right? And nothing can replicate or duplicate having Trey Hendrickson come chase you across the line of scrimmage than actually having Trey Hendrickson.
Unless he beats it out of you. I don't know. In the same way that Caleb Williams is clearly, you know, you're starting the first overall pick and you're starting the second overall pick, certainly when you are starting from scratch, but you do have the weapons around you and a head coach who can coach up the defense well enough to start winning some games, this is a different situation. This is a team that's raising it down to the ground, as Susie pointed out. Zero expectations in the New England area. When was the last time there you could say that sort of thing, where the fan base can be patient? They're bought in.
And even Tom Brady said that a lot of these young quarterbacks were being thrown in too quickly, and he would know something about being ready to get in. And because he did sit there, and he did sit there, and he watched Drew Bledsoe. He
learned. Full season. Yeah, I think a lot of folks might, looking back now on the narrative, think that that was his rookie season where he came, and it was not. It was year two. So lots to talk about today. Jeremy Fowler of ESPN is first up. He wrote a deep dive a couple of weeks ago. That's when we first reached out to him. Mm-hmm. On the Philadelphia Eagles' season going south last year and the whys and what have they done to potentially avoid all that. Albert Breer after him, Quinnen Williams of the Jets, Fantasy Footballers Hour 3, and you where you are. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Hey, everybody. You know we're living in a new age of football with the expanded college football playoff, NIL, conference realignment, and increasing popularity of the draft. The landscape is changing, and it's changing quickly, and it can be confusing, but you know you're still into it. That's where the new podcast, The Triple Option, comes in. Each week, Heisman Trophy winner Mark Ingram, host Rob Stone, and three-time national champion coach Urban Meyer team up to bring on the biggest guests in college football, pro football, and anything related to the culture of the game. They cover it all, from top stories to recent changes and shifts in the game, the culture surrounding it, and everything in between. So get in the game today. Follow and subscribe to The Triple Option on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Watch The Triple Option on YouTube as well. New episodes drop Wednesday mornings. Are you struggling to close deals? Business-to-business selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals such as job changes or which accounts you should prioritize, and shows you hidden allies so you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/direct.
That is linkedin.com/direct for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/direct and get started.
All right, Susan, I don't think we've done this with you in the chair before, but it's time for Residual Rich. Let's hit it. Hit it.
Pay that man his money.
All right. You got the music, Mike? Very nice. I love this. Who's into this more? The flute or the drums?
I think the little...
You could just see, they probably, like I said, they probably have that Bob Ross fro in 1971 just killing it.
This is so your kind of thing. This music is so you.
This is from, honestly, I would make this my ringtone. Okay, here we go. Here we go. This is for the Odd Couple.
Oh, okay.
Matthew Perry, rest in peace.
Newer?
This is for three episodes of the Odd Couple that I was in.
Miss Susie, you had no idea about this game before, right?
Well, she did. I did know about it. I just forgot that there was a drop in a name. Gotcha.
Here we go. You ready, Suze?
Yeah.
Three shows combined. What's the residual check? What do you think?
$78.
$78.
$125.
Wow. TJ?
Going high.
$1, Rich.
Attaboy, TJ Jefferson. Do not mess with the man who once upon a time was part of a double over. The actual retail check of three episodes of The Odd Couple is $1.95.
Wow. That's ridiculous.
$1.95.
Come on.
Suze?
Baby's going shopping.
I don't know for what.
For what?
Bazooka gum.
There you go.
Penny candy.
Excellent residual.
You can't even buy penny candy anymore.
$1.95.
I'm the best.
It costs more for them to put the envelope.
Potentially.
Send it to you. I mean, what are they?
I'm just thankful that we did not get a Susie reference of me needing a manicure. Oh. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm on the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Waiting on Jeremy Fowler of ESPN to zoom in when he has the chance here. Let's take a phone call here. Jeff in Detroit's on the line, one of Susie's favorites. What's up, Jeff?
Well, what the football is going on today? I cut the radio off, and my favorite aunt is in studio. You know what you guys sound like? Sound like Burl Ives when he was on, the Christmas special?
Yes, Silver and Gold or whatever, yes.
Oh, my God. You guys talking about football here. Listen, I had a question for you. Now, here in Michigan, we lost last year because we didn't take the points. My question to you is this. We got this great kicker named Jake Bates. Mm-hmm. Is there any other person on a football team that can change the complexity of a game faster than a field goal kicker? Outside of the quarterback.
Well, Jeff, you know I'm a kicker guy. I'd push back. I think this year might be whoever returns. We have no idea how this return thing is going to work.
Yeah, because no one's been showing their hands.
None at all. 0.0. We have no idea if the coaches are going to say, screw it, just kick it through the back of the end zone anyway. I don't care. We'll give the starting position on the 30. Or we're just going to see all sorts of weird kicking game strategies from the receiving team, and suddenly we're going to see a ton more returns, and all of a sudden, you know, in the year Devin Hester goes in the Hall of Fame, that gets new life breathed into it. I have no idea.
But, Rich, I understand what Jeff means. Yeah. Because having Brandon Aubrey last year for the Cowboys, he was good from 56 to now he's a 66. So I see what you're saying, Jeff. Having a weapon like that, if you guys kicked the field goal last year, you go to the Super Bowl. So I understand what you're saying, and I have a kicker like that.
Jeff, thanks for the time, brother.
Yeah, that's true. That's why I call this show, to get that knowledge, baby, to get that knowledge, warm them up.
Jeff,
let's go
in
NFL season.
Jeff in Detroit, everybody. There you go. Listen, Brandon Aubrey, dude, because in one of Cooper's four fantasy leagues, he's going to draft his fourth fantasy league on Sunday.
He's a monster. Okay?
He is. And his fourth fantasy league on Sunday is what he's going to draft.
the one he just drafted, he got Brandon Aubrey, okay? And he's like, Dad, because he saw me kick the 66-yarder. I had him last year. Your coach does not use him. He will go for it on fourth and one, two, three, four, or occasionally like four and a half or five when he's in between the 35 and the 40. And I'm sitting here, here comes Aubrey out for a five-pointer for my fantasy league. No. He doesn't use him. I'm wondering if he will this year. If he just takes the three and lets your stellar, fast Mike Zimmer coordinated defense do the right, you know, do their thing. I don't know. I just don't get it how coaches don't take the three anymore. They have fallen in love with the fourth and go for it. I mean, head over heels for
it. He attempted 38 field goals last year, so... He was getting the opportunities, and he was knocking them down.
38? He could have had 50.
Well, he's definitely good from 50. That's a fact.
All right, let's go to Ryan in Florida. He's here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Ryan?
Hello, Rich Eisen. I'm glad I found you.
Okay, Ryan.
What up, Ryan?
What's up?
What's going on?
Well, I have a very interesting question that you, as a curious mind, would like to know.
Okay.
Out of all the teams in the NFC, which one would be your best sleeper team that's going to take everyone by surprise as if to say, oh, no, we didn't see that coming?
Well, do I do this now? Or I was waiting to next week to give my sleeper teams.
Well, I mean, Ryan is calling.
I know. Ryan
asked for callers.
I know. He's asking for it. Usually I wait to the week before to do this.
Tell him to call back next week?
No. I'll go there right now, Ryan. Here's how I'm going. I'll go in the AFC first. Here are my sleeper teams. Thanks for the call, Ryan. I greatly appreciate it. Mike, give me some music here. Give me some music here. This is totally impromptu. I'm going to do it right now. My sleeper picks for the 2024 National Football League season. Now, what this means is nobody saw them coming to have a high-quality season, let alone a playoff-threatening season or potentially a playoff appearance. Okay? Nobody saw it coming.
Okay.
They got to be plucked. So the Los Angeles Chargers are not included in this list. Okay.
Because we see them coming?
Well, I mean, everybody sees Jim Harbaugh's back. I keep saying that he's going to plus him up by seven games.
Yeah,
that's what happened the last
time.
But everyone wouldn't be surprised if the Chargers suddenly went from fifth overall on the clock to the fifth seed, right?
Okay. I got you.
Okay. The Bears are not in this.
Yeah.
To go from ninth overall to being a wild card and threatening for the NFC North title. No one would be surprised about that, right?
Because Caleb's him.
But in the NFC, does anybody see the Arizona Cardinals coming right
no.
now?
No, sir. I ain't talking about him.
Marvin Harrison Jr., you can't even buy his jersey anywhere because I don't think he's agreed on that business deal for whatever's going on with him. Well, we didn't see him work out.
Nope.
We didn't see him. The last time we saw him was just the draft waving, right? Right. And then, you know, getting in a sweat August.
It's like they've kept him covered up.
That's it.
Until reveal day.
Right? And this Arizona Cardinals team last year with Kyler out for half the time, and remember, we were even sitting here thinking maybe they should just tank.
Yeah, tank for Caleb.
Tank for Caleb and turn Kyler Murray and his monster contract into, you know, Josh Rosen.
Mm-hmm. We were like, crash for Caleb.
And instead, they put him out there and they just kept on playing like there was no tomorrow. So, I by the way, talk about a very difficult start. It's three playoff teams from last year. Yeah. At Buffalo, home for the Rams, home for Detroit. And then they got Washington, but they are home for three of their first four. They can get off to a good start. And I don't know what it is. They got guys who you're not going to draft in fantasy very much. If I had to choose a team that is going to just surprise you, it'll be Kyler Murray, Jonathan Gannon, and the Arizona Cardinals in the NFC. I don't know if they make the playoffs, but I'll go with them. Okay? And then in the AFC, I'm going to do it.
Do it.
Anybody who's been taking in this program of late knows that I'm going to go in this direction. In the win-loss game, and I see a couple people want to play it right now. Susie loves the win-loss game. You love the win-loss game.
She loves phone calls.
You love phone callers.
I like phone calls.
You love people just calling in. You know, our son, our Coop, loved the Jet
What's
fan.
What's so funny, she did?
You said I like phone calls.
She does. She likes talking to people.
1-888-RICH.
It's like that little kid who likes other humans. It's like the little kid that was like, I like turtles.
She just gave out the wrong phone number.
You want to talk about football? I'm here.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Wait a second.
Rich Eisen.
Now the phone lines are split to a subtle different now.
I feel like I'm told
you wanted an Eisen after dark.
You suddenly lost the sleeper team plot.
But if you want to, call it.
In the AFC, a win-loss game, every single time this team gets mentioned, the person's like, win against this team.
Like TJ, it's like the Patriots are going to be bad. Really?
Enough. Good Lord. It's enough.
I feel like it's
I'm talking sleeper teams.
From the club.
What's the matter with you people?
The Patriots are going to be really bad.
You're so bad. Awful.
Stop it.
I see a new segment.
Colts are going to need to be punished.
Dirty boy.
Stop it. I'm talking.
I can't breathe.
This is what I was hoping for.
Cowboys are playing dirty
football. No respect for my sleeper teams.
Rich, I'll shut him off. You want me to shut him off?
This is so funny. I'm having a great time.
So am
I. DJ, you and I should just take over.
Every single person thinks their team is beating the Tennessee Titans. Everybody thinks the Tennessee Titans are going to get steamrolled this year. Everybody just thinks, okay, whatever. Nobody's talking about it. Turn off the microphone.
They're going to get spank
that.
Stop it.
Roll commercial. Oh my God.
Not yet. The Tennessee Titans have got themselves, hopefully when DeAndre Hopkins comes back, one of the best wide receiver rooms in the business with Calvin Ridley and D-Hop and Tyler Boyd. And they got Tajay Spears and they got Pollard at the running back position. And they've got a head coach from the McVay family tree. They got Brian Callahan and Susie, if I can bring you back in a football conversation. The man who is coaching the offensive line is Bill Callahan, who you know way back in the day.
Oh, yeah. I've known him for 25, 30 years.
Was he the one who had the great Gatorade dump?
The gratifying dump, Rich.
Yep, that's how she called him. Gatorade dump.
ABC, Thanksgiving was great.
She said, how gratifying was that dump?
I said, was that the most gratifying dump you've ever had? And I heard Mike Tirico audibly gasp in my ear, and I thought, oh.
Well, guess what? It's going to be a gratifying dump for this running game on top of every defense they face.
Susie, did they make a mess
of
everything?
The Tennessee Titans
I just thought
are a sleeper
so
team.
Wrong.
Will you cut off their microphones? Yes or no? The Tennessee Titans are a sleeper team in the AFC. Will Levis is going to have a terrific second year.
He drinks mayo, Rich.
I can't wait to see it. Nobody sees this team coming. Jeffrey Simmons as well.
He's a big man. Yeah.
He is excited. He is engaged. He is healthy. Yep. And I would look out with, by the way, L'Jarius Sneed and the Prez, Jamal Adams.
Yes.
Totally under the radar. They are set to have a season that nobody's seen.
And they've got to feel the disrespect a little bit, you would think, right?
Well, it's not just based on what everybody is saying, but you guys crapping all over that part of the segment.
Crapping on it?
Gratifyingly. All right, let's take a break. Jeremy Fowler is joining us next on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere.
He must be wondering what were they
so
doing.
So am I. The Rich Eisen Show is sponsored by Grainger. Does this sound familiar? You're a maintenance specialist and you've been squaring off with a leaky radiator at your facility for hours. You're both drenched in sweat. You've thrown the whole playbook at it, but so far it's got an answer for everything. What you need is a teammate, a pro who's seen it all before, and that's Grainger. With support specialists always ready to chat, the product you need, plus a million more, just give this ringer a ring. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by one of their local branches. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. And let me tell you about Greenlight, folks. My wife and I use it for our oldest kid. Time is moving fast. Used to be, you didn't have to worry about what your kids were doing with money. But Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and money habits, while kids also learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. Anytime my oldest son uses his Greenlight card, I get an alert. How much he's spending, where he's spending it, and he also knows the limit that he has, so he learns how to save, invest, and spend wisely. I use it, my wife uses it, my kids use it, you should too. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/rich. That's greenlight.com/rich to try Greenlight for free. greenlight.com/rich.
Back here on the show, as soon as the radio audience returns, that's when we'll bring in Jeremy Fowler of ESPN. He is going to join us. Many times when Susie is here for Brockman and the two of us are on the air together, I will, you know, later on in the day when they come home from school, if they're in school and, you know, two of our three are in school today, I'll say, hey, here's mom and I on the show together. That's the segment I will not be showing.
Well, perhaps not. It may not have been my
why that was comedic gold, classiest. Jerry.
No, it's funny. I mean, it's content wise, it's
Jerry gold.
Content wise, it's great.
We'll
it's great.
Put that on the Emmy reel.
That's good. Why not?
I mean, Coop's home.
Yeah, he's
but
watching.
The chances of him not watching baseball highlights.
By
are...
the way, he is on. The MLB app all the time.
That's what you were saying.
Yeah, he told me yesterday, he goes, Dad, Scott Service might be let go by the Mariners. I'm like, okay.
Did you go, who's Scott Service?
No, I did not. And then later in the day, he goes, Dad, they did it.
Oh, really?
He's like following along the entire day. The entire day.
That makes you so proud, though, don't it?
Of course it does.
That's your boy.
Mom and me, by the way.
Oh, my God.
Just saying.
I don't know if you're right every single time you do that.
I really am.
I don't think you are.
I really am.
Correcting my grammar.
She went to Columbia. She went to Columbia. I'll take her word for it.
That's right.
Excuse me. I went to the Harvard of the Midwest.
Well, I mean,
actually, Harvard is the Michigan of the East.
Well, no, that's not how they say it, though.
Is it like,
It depends on where you are.
Harvard's the Michigan of the East? Never heard that before.
Yeah, there's T-shirts. I can get you one if you want, Mike.
Mike, you could make a T-shirt that said Rutgers is the Harvard of New Jersey.
I didn't go to Rutgers. Seton Hall is the it's the Harvard of New Jersey.
It's all good. At any rate, back on the Rich Eisen show, he was part of a byline doing a great deep dive on the Philadelphia Eagles. He's one of the top information men in the business, and I do believe just got hung up with an NFL coach talking about some of the stuff that we were just discussing on our program. Jeremy Fowler of ESPN is back here on the program. Good to see you, Jeremy. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Rich. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it was funny. I was just talking to a coach in the AFC. You mentioned the Titans.
Yes.
And we just brought up the Titans, that they're going to be like sneaky good.
Yeah, don't you think,
though? The roster has kind of turned around the last 8 months.
Don't you think? Just because, you know, they let Derrick Henry walk, a lot of people think that they've given up or they don't have a roster that can compete significantly. And I understand, you know, why fans would think that or why, you know, national fans who aren't really locked in might think that, but you do take a look at their roster and also the, if you will, Shanahan/McVay coaching tree and how those guys can show up somewhere else and perform well right off the bat. I'm looking at them saying that they're a sleeper team this year, Jeremy.
Brian Callahan creates sweet music with quarterbacks. Like, he just speaks their language. He gets them comfortable. Like, if you've noticed, Malik Willis is playing better now. Like, they might keep three quarterbacks because of that. Like, I just think the impact on the offense and Will Levis will be pretty profound. They've got enough receivers now. Defense drafted some playmakers. Like I was just looking at the roster the other day. It's better than I thought. Like, I was like, okay, they've made a lot of progress. in the last 8 to 10 months, I would say.
So let's discuss the Eagles here, because the piece that you co-bylined a couple weeks ago certainly caught my eye. And I'm just wondering why the Eagles fell apart last year. Based on your reporting, and what did you glean? What can you say other than just they weren't on the same page, which is all you hear from Philadelphia Eagles players?
Well, I think it's several factors, but one is, you know, we took a deep dive into the relationship between Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts, which some sources there described it as fractured last year. You know, it's a situation where you have two highly competitive people that want to do the same things and meet the same goals, but they go about it different ways. One's sort of quiet. One can be a little brash in the head coach. Just very different personalities, to where when they were kind of working one-on-one, you know, some wondered how that's going to go. Like, is that going to be too much of an oil and water situation? Where the year before, you had Shane Steichen calling the plays, running the offense, and you had Brian Johnson, then the quarterback's coach, as sort of the buffer between Hurts and the offense and Sirianni. And then when Shane left, you didn't have that anymore. I do think that was sort of a underplayed, sort of undercurrent of the whole thing. Just the infrastructure between the quarterback and the head coach wasn't as strong. And then, you know, it's just, it wasn't just the quarterback, the offensive line, you'd see them frustrated on the sidelines. I think it was a combination of, you know, what's our identity? It's like there were some new ideas being thrown out. Can we evolve? But Nick Sirianni wanted to stick with what they were doing so well the year before. Why change? So you had different philosophies. So you say not on the same page. That's the way to describe it in the simplest form. But there are 18 different iterations of that that sort of created a really disjointed offense. And Jalen Hurts didn't play as well. You know, I've talked to several coaches around the league that said he was sort of locking onto targets and, you know, looked like, they can't speak for him, but looked like he was kind of trying to justify the contract by being more of a pocket passer, dropping deep instead of kind of staying true to what they were the year before. So it's a combination of 100 things.
Could injury have been the reason why he was staying in the pocket more too, right? That he wasn't as mobile?
That is part of it. Yeah, to his credit, for sure. It's good you pointed that out, because like when we did our quarterback rankings this summer, we rank all the positions based on executives, coaches, and scouts. Really, he did get the benefit of the doubt in the rankings for falling out of the top 10 sort of pantheon of quarterbacks, where the year before he was in the top 10. They did point to that injury a lot. People out, you know, from other teams that watched the Eagles closely said, like, he just wasn't the same. So that is a big part of it for sure. But, you know, you had players on offense that were sort of running their own script at times. Like, it really was uncertain where the plays were coming from or who was calling the plays at times last year. And so when you don't have that kind of synergy, it's a problem. But Hurts, to his credit, was hurt and was part of a static offense that did not evolve, and that wasn't really his fault.
So then the million-dollar question is did they fix it with Kellen Moore being brought in and maybe – Sirianni being more hands-off and handing things off and delegating in a way that that he won't tinker, for the lack of better. He is the head coach. I mean, things did work out very well, but, you know, Shane Steichen, as we all know, got the Colts gig based on what the offense did in that Super Bowl season. So did they fix it, Jeremy?
I think they fixed it. I would say now, when things get heated and you're week six and let's say you've scored 17 points in a few games and you're frustrated, will things change or will coaches meddle more than others? Maybe. But for now, Sirianni, to his credit, sorry, I got a little dog in the background here. Sirianni, to his credit, has really tried to sort of recalibrate the whole system in Philly. He's trusting Kellen Moore. He's not a fixture in the quarterback room right now. He'll sit in on offensive meetings, but he has taken more of a leadership approach, CEO approach. He addressed the whole team in April and told them, look, you know, a big part of last year was on me. I take full accountability for what happened last year. And that was refreshing to a lot of people who were in the room, and there were pretty much 100 plus people. You're talking the whole team, support staff, coaches. And he addressed it head on. Hey, last year was on me. And so he set a nice tone this offseason. You add Saquon Barkley, who I think, and talking to some people around the league, they also wonder, could he have a Christian McCaffrey type impact on this offense the way McCaffrey did when he went to San Fran? He's probably not the caliber of player that McCaffrey is at this stage, but he's going to the perfect offense for him. And with the RPO stuff that they do and his ability, and he's still got at least one or two prime years left, most likely, like, he could have a massive impact on what they're doing and change really everything.
By the way, we're a dog-friendly show, Jeremy. Don't worry about it.
He's elusive. He wants to play fetch right now.
Okay. I feel like I should transition to the Browns with a dog, right? I mean, I'm trying to figure out how to do that. So which is the team that you've been hearing about the most that we're not talking about, Jeremy? Which is the team that you're hearing about from other coaches, other members of our profession, that on the outset of the season we should be, you think, talking about a little bit more?
Yeah, I kind of lean on my training camp tours. You know, I went around between joint practices and tours. I hit 16 teams up. You mentioned the Browns. Watching them, I mean, their defense is going to be awesome. Like, I don't think there's any doubt about that. There's still questions about Deshaun Watson. We haven't seen him much. I saw him throw a little bit. He looked pretty good. You know, I wouldn't say he looked like, wow, top five quarterback, but that was just one practice, and they didn't have the best offense that day. It was a joint practice with the Vikings, but the defense, particularly the cornerbacks and the backfield, like, it would shock me if they're not one of the league's very best. So I think the Browns are, roster-wise, are as well-positioned as just about anybody outside of maybe three or four teams right now. You know, they've done a really good job of building that up. So if they get just capable quarterback play, they can win 11 and 12 games. Seattle's a team that a lot of people are sleeping on, just being there, like, there's a lot of talent there and a lot of depth. They might not have those blue chip top five guys, but they're loaded at every position. And Mike McDonald, just talking to him, you can tell he's got a lot of ideas. Ryan Grubb has an offense that's sort of emboldening Geno Smith in a big way, where he feels like he can take more ownership and change things at the line if he needs to, and has more autonomy than he did. So this could be really his best year.
I kind of like the moves Atlanta made in the last couple of weeks by adding Judon and Simmons, two bona fide, real grown ass man veterans. You know what I mean? On the defensive side of the ball, offensively, you know, we had Kirk Cousins on just a couple days ago. He seemed to just be, you know, chill. And again, I understand the Penix thing is still a head scratcher, but that didn't seem to me like it concerns him, you know, maybe down the road, but certainly for 2024, it doesn't. I'm wondering what your, did you see them? Were you in their training camps at all?
I didn't go to Atlanta, but just really from my reporting all off season and this summer, you know, Kirk was blindsided. There's no doubt about the Penix deal, but it was stressed to me, like, he's a big boy. I mean, he's been in the NFL business a long time. He's worked the system to his favor. He's seen teams do what they need to do. They're going to do what they have to do at all costs to win. And sometimes that means drafting somebody you don't expect that could be a replacement. Like, he's cool that at this point he's made his peace with it. The efficiency that the offense will have has already been evident in just a couple weeks of training camp and preseason. Even though he hasn't been hit yet, that's really the next step, and that probably won't come till week one, coming off that Achilles injury. But Drake London is going to be a 1,000-yard receiver. He's going to be a marquee guy now. Like, you can pretty much bet that, I think. So he's going to bring the best and out of and unlock some targets that were just getting uneven bad quarterback play for a few years. Just that alone will lift them up. And you got to give them credit. They didn't panic on the pass rush front, right? Everybody said, get a pass rusher in the first round. You know, why take Michael Penix? Well, they said quarterback's too important, and there's always an avenue to get a better player. So Matthew Judon's probably better than most anybody would have drafted.
Heck yeah.
And you get him for a third round pick. So they're in a pretty good spot right now. They had to fix the defense in a few spots, and they did that. They were built 2 months ago as a team that could score points, but maybe was uneven up front. Well, Judon and Simmons doesn't solve everything, but it solves a few things.
In the last couple minutes I have with you, Jeremy Fowler, senior NFL reporter from ESPN. Let's get a little grist of all the folks you've been talking to. Which is the quarterback signing of the offseason that's left heads being scratched the most? Which one is the one that folks are like, don't know about that one the most?
Ooh, quarterback signing.
It would be Lawrence, Love, Tua.
Oh, the big contracts. Okay, I was thinking of like free agency signings.
Yes, sir.
Because those are sort of clear cut. You know, it's funny because you have a lot of talks about, you know, the quarterback market, and do you pay for a guy who's maybe outside of the top 10 or middle of the road? And teams have two paths on that, right? They either stick with the comfort, like, we know we have a guy and life's much worse
right
without a guy who's sort of not in that top 16 or whatever, it's the haves and the have-nots. And so teams are just deciding to blindly pay that. I think Miami, you know, there was some skepticism a little bit league-wide just because of the injuries that he's had. Now, look, he led the league in passing and played 17 games last year. He did what he had to do to get the money. And, you know, when other quarterbacks were hitting that $50 million mark, including Trevor Lawrence, then, you know, Tua can say, look, I can't take any less than that. But I know that Miami, even though they have a lot of faith in Tua and Mike McDaniel loves Tua, they were spooked in that building a little bit when Lawrence and Jared Goff were getting $52 to $55 million. There was some spookiness there. They're like, okay, we have to do this. And we really like Tua, but, you know, he's, I don't think a lot of people would mistake him for being in that sort of Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes class, Joe Burrow. So it's a tough pill to swallow a little bit, but they do believe that they can win with him and they have the team around him to do it. So I would say that one, just, you know, teams bring up Tua as like, you know, he's good, not great. Do you pay for just good, you know, or at least Trevor Lawrence for all the problems he's had. And he was bad last year, but he was also, I think, more hurt than people let on or knew. His ceiling's higher, you know, so you pay for the ceiling. Jordan Love, you pay for the ceiling, you pay for what they could be. So, you know, and Jared Goff, there weren't a lot of complaints about that contract. Honestly, he became a top 10 quarterback without the contract just the last 2 years alone. Like, he's a guy now. It's been a pretty impressive rise for when he was left for dead 3 years ago or 2 years ago in L.A.
Jeremy, thanks for the time. I do believe, if I could sense it, you have, in fact, been dispensing information, having a conversation while playing fetch with your dog the last couple of minutes.
I'm trying to, like, secure the dog.
It's fine.
Because I know the dog's making noise. No, oh, here we go.
It's fine. Here we go. Let's see. Let's see your dog.
Okay.
Let's see. Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
It was bothering me on my show, so I was trying to do the Rich Eisen show.
What's your dog's name? Who's this?
This is Rosie. It's a little Rosie. Yeah. Nice. First time on
Rosie's
on air,
color so. Matches its shirt.
Matches your shirt. Right. This is gross. Look at that.
Yeah. So she wants to play fetch, but then she won't let me, you know, she won't
Rosie.
Like, she keeps me until I acknowledge her. So.
Fantastic. Well done. Jeremy Fowler with Rosie in a matching shirt collar combination.
That's right.
Thanks for the time, Jeremy. Like, greatly appreciate
it. Thanks, Rich.
You got it. That's
appreciate
Jeremy Fowler and Rosie. Senior NFL dog, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. And help control the pet population. Have your pets spayed or neutered. And adopt, don't shop. Did I do a good job right there?
I just saw a listing for some rescue Great Pyrenees puppies.
Oh, my God.
Somebody dumped the puppies, like, in a parking lot.
Okay.
There are 7 of them.
Okay.
So you're getting another dog,
what
is what she's
saying. What if you get 2 of them?
Oh, two. We already have 2.
I know.
But even numbers are better.
All right. Thank
so
goodness
for 4, thanks, like a horseman.
Thank goodness we're up against a break.
Well, I mean, but she's going to keep talking.
Albert
the break,
Breer
though,
is so. Joining us in hour, in just hour number 2. He's first up from Sports Illustrated. I want to know about Ayuk. I want to know about CeeDee Lamb. I want to know about Ja'Marr Chase. I want to know about everything he knows.
You should want to know about what it's like to have 4 dogs.
Quinnen Williams will join us as well. That's hour number 2 on the Rich Eisen Show. We're still here on Roku. What do you got? Do you want to know what you want to tell everyone where they can get these dogs?
Yeah
your house.
No, not my house. By the way, Great Pyrenees.
Love Leo Rescue. Leo Rescue.
They wind up being over 100 pounds.
Yeah, they're good guard dogs, bro.
I know.
Keep Tay-Tay safe.
And they're very nice.
I'm sure they're wonderful.
We know Love Leo Rescue.
Very good.
At Love Leo Rescue.
That's
on
great.
Instagram, people.
I love Leo, but just not for our house. You already have 2 dogs.
Yeah, but
you're
got
the one who
more.
Wants a third dog.
I want a little one, like a Rosie.
You're gonna be like,
look at Rosie.
It'll
like,
be little
like
for
Joe
a while.
Walking around with Bubbles.
No, definitely not.
the attack dog.
No, you do that.
Yeah, that little Chihuahua that will just snap at you. No, yeah. Thank you.
Feel like me.
Beautiful dog, lovely dog. That's for Joe. Manganiello, that's how he's got his great.
Rich, just think about you taking the 2 big dogs down the street, walking them.
We have 2 other dogs.
I know.
We already do.
So Susie will have
the
other 2.
You be quiet. You stay at home with your ping pong table and just, you know, stick to yourself. Mind your own business.
I had a fish once. His name was Biggie.
That's the greatest name for a little dog, by the way.
Biggie?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Biggie Smalls.
You always say that you want a little dog.
Yes, I know.
But then when Charlie's around, you're like, oh, my God, he's so yappy or what have you, even though you really do love Charles the dog.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Very cuddly.
All right.
I can't wait for the pictures on Monday, Mike.
Let's throw to break. My goodness gracious. Albert Breer, when we come back.
Breer.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Tucker Carlson, what is it that you think that people gravitate towards?
I'm not self-aware. I refuse to be self-aware. I don't even like mirrors at all, which you can probably tell from my appearance. I don't have a crazy high IQ, or I really don't have that many skills. I would say my main skill is I believe my instincts. I don't hesitate to follow my instincts, ever. The extent that I have, I've gotten in trouble.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.